This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I have my next guest. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Corey Adjmi. And the name of the book is The Marriage Box. Hi, Corey.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, great. Well, it is so nice to have you on. Boy, oh boy, what a book.
Thank you.
I liked hearing that it was named the most read new book of 2022 by Katie Couric Media. That's nice.
Oh, it's a must-read book. Yes, it was so nice to get that. That feedback was amazing.
Yeah, that was great. That was wonderful. So I found the story so fascinating from so many points of view. The whole idea of the story. And I will tell you that forevermore, when I look at my copy of War and Peace, which I will be thinking about you.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I love that.
Well, you know, it's sometimes something little, it's funny things that will remind you of something. And I never thought of using War and Peace in the way that you did, but it was.
I love that detail that it stuck out with you. That's great.
Oh, it was. And
thank
another
you.
Detail I really loved, how I knew when I was reading, you know, I start the book and I get so many books, so I start the book and I'm saying, good writing. And then I get to where she describes her childhood bedroom. And I won't say how you describe it, but when you got to the wallpaper, I said to myself, oh, this girl knows how to write. She can just capture it. It's such a little detail, but
how you
describe the wallpaper. I mean, I just loved it. I got such a kick out of it. And there's throughout the book, there are these little things. You know, this is the thing with writing. Sometimes people don't understand how important these little things are. You have them, you're writing like War and Peace, like the wallpaper in her bedroom that she's, you know, 16 and she's talking about the wallpaper in her bedroom. All of these little things in the book give it such depth, give it, you know, just pops it up a notch.
Thank you. I mean, I think that because sometimes those details have deeper meanings, like you mentioned. And that's why I'm just so amazed by people who can turn out a book a year. I'm just not that kind of writer. It takes me a long time for these, like, images and thoughts and the deeper meanings to surface, at least for me.
When they do surface, I can tell you, they're great, because it really is a joy to read this book. I, you know, the story is difficult in some ways, but I'll let you explain the story. But I did enjoy this part of having this sort of enriched atmosphere that you've given us.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So tell us about this idea for the story. And of course, it's an intriguing idea. So go ahead.
Okay, sure. So I would say, The Marriage Box is based on my real life. The premise is my real life. I grew up in New Orleans. My family moved to the Orthodox Syrian Jewish community in Brooklyn when I was 16, because that's where both of my parents had been raised. They moved to New Orleans when they got married for work reasons. And when I was 16 and started dating, they wanted to come back because they wanted a more traditional life. They wanted me actually to get married. And by the time I was 18, which was all shocking to me because I had grown up, you know, in this wonderful city, New Orleans, with I went to a college preparatory school, and we were pretty progressive. And so this was a huge swing, going from New Orleans to Brooklyn, from a somewhat progressive modern lifestyle to a much more conservative religious community. And my parents did want me to get married when I was 18, which was all very shocking. And seemingly to me, my young 16-year-old self, it all happened overnight. Like, you know, I was sideswiped. And so the premise of The Marriage Box is that, and the rest is made up. But I do think it was a journey in, like, coming to terms with that move and that time in my life. You know, you're 16, you're forming your identity, you're trying to figure out who you are. And when all the rules change, it's just extra confusing. And I think the marriage box was just an attempt at dealing with all those emotions.
So set the premise for the listeners about what exactly the marriage box is and how things are arranged. I must say, I thought your description of Brooklyn and all of that's terrific.
Thank you. So I did want, even though maybe in the description I just gave, the story sounds somewhat heavy, and there are dark moments, that's for sure. But really my goal was to have like good storytelling and have it be entertaining. And there's some humor in it. And the marriage box was a real place. It was at a beach club in New Jersey where all the young Syrian Jewish girls went to hang out for potential dates. And the boys would go there and they'd get dates, but really the goal was to get married. So when I showed up at the beach club, I stayed as far away from the marriage box as possible. But I thought it was a good, apropos, kind of fun title for this novel.
Oh, it is. It's a great title.
And thank you. So, double meaning.
Exactly. So, you know, the thing is with religious marriages and Jewish religious marriages, there are certain things that are unusual for a lot of people. So when this happened to you, I mean, when you got to Brooklyn after being in New Orleans, which is a completely, you know, like so divergent, you know, one is so different from the other. So your character, her reaction is very much like what your reaction was?
Yeah, I mean, my character was pretty angry and depressed, and I think so was I for a while. But she then behaved in ways that I didn't. I was pretty well behaved.
Well, you know, Casey Cohen is, as you said, she's a teenager. And it also, it's a combination. When you say Syrian Jewish, it is different than the Ashkenazi Jewish lifestyle.
Exactly.
So it's you have a lot of things to deal with in this story.
Yes. The marriage box took me 20 years to write. Part of the reason was because I was a young mom raising five children. But it was also difficult to write because it was attached to my real life. And I wanted to write about this community with humor, but also the utmost respect. So that was kind of tricky. But what's been really important about the book for me, which was unexpected, I didn't set out to do this, was to show Jewish life from a different angle. Because a lot of times what's shown in books and in movies and on TV is just one specific view of what Orthodox Judaism looks like. And so this is just a new story with a new view that hopefully can help broaden the representation and the conversation.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure readers will find it fascinating, the difference for those people who are Ashkenazi Jews. They don't know that much about Syrian Jews, so it's fascinating.
I didn't even know. That was part of, the, you know, besides going from New Orleans to Brooklyn, south to north, from a Reformed lifestyle to an Orthodox lifestyle, I also didn't know. I grew up thinking we were, I didn't know there were different sections of the Jewish religion. And so I had one Ashkenaz grandmother and thought I was also. I didn't know about Sephardic culture.
I lived in Iran for a long time, and I actually lived in the Jewish neighborhood, very, very Orthodox. We had about 10 blocks. We were all Jewish. Of course, coming from America,
it's definitely different, yeah.
That also adds to a lot of the fun. Tell us a little bit more about how you developed the story about Casey and about Michael.
So, for whatever reason, this seems to be true for writers, they end up finding themes that they write about a lot. And I write about marriage a lot in my other book, Life and Other Shortcomings. My short stories are largely around relationships and marriage. My essays revolve around marriage often. So it's been a fascination. I did get married at 18. I've been married for 40 years. And so that, I think, just observing and taking note of what a young marriage might look like in this community and following it was where the interest came from.
And it's also a combination also of Jewish life, but also the 80s. That's an interesting period. When we're looking back nowadays, I mean, people look back with nostalgia at the 80s, which is, it's hard to believe it's 2023. I just, it is 2023, right? I mean, I'm not wrong.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. And when I was submitting the novel for some awards and contests, one of the categories that was appropriate was historical fiction. I could not believe that. The story feels so modern to me. It feels so current in some ways, and yet 1980 is a long time ago.
I know. It's.
It definitely is hard to believe.
Now, of course, I wanted to mention Life and Other Shortcomings, which was a big award winner, International Book Award winner. You love to write, obviously. You've thought, I think, about writing for a long time, obviously, the novel. And what else have you discovered about writing? Well, as you said, you submitted it. What was that process like for you? How did you get you got an agent for the Marriage Box?
Oh, I do love to write. The publishing part is a totally different journey. So originally I had an agent, and we just worked very differently. And so after some time, I ended that relationship. And I had been hearing really great things about She Writes Press, and decided to submit. So I did. And they had, at the time, they had tracks that if you were like track one, you were ready to publish immediately. Track two, maybe you needed some editing, so on, you know. And when I got my notice back, it said track one, ready to go. And so I was ready to go. I was dying for Life and Other Shortcomings to be in the world. A bunch of those stories had won awards, and they had been published, so I felt confident about them. And what I did, which was really fun when I turned it into Life and Other Shortcomings, was I linked the stories. So even though they were all originally standalone pieces, the way it reads in Life and Other Shortcomings is there is a thread, and it almost becomes like a novel because you can follow what happens to a character by, you know, the sixth story, you're finding out something that you learned about in the first story, let's say, or from a different character's point of view. So that was really fun tying them together. That was a great creative process.
Well, one of the creative process was the cover, and I like the cover. When people look at it, they'll say, why are these girls laying around in bikinis?
Oh, on the Marriage Box, because they were trying to attract dates. And I do write a lot about patriarchy and women's empowerment and women's rights. And so that's definitely a theme in the Marriage Box.
So there's a lot involved in getting a book out, and in addition to the 20 years of working on it.
Oh, for sure. Yes, yes, definitely. I would say perseverance and is very, very important, but also being able to tolerate rejection. Because it's disheartening when somebody is not interested in your work and it might be for any reason, and I've learned to understand this, but it could be because they already have a book that's too similar, or it could be because their list is full or whatever, but you have to just keep going because it just takes that one yes.
I think you're just a natural born writer, that you've got the talent, but then you had to develop this platform that everybody wants for an author, and do the promotion. How did you face all of that?
Okay, so I definitely appreciate the part about me having talent, but natural born, I don't know, because I did not know I wanted to be a writer until I was in my mid-30s. Then had to really do a lot of work. I read a lot about writing. I practiced a lot. I took classes. I worked really, really, really hard. Because I don't know how it's possible, but I got all the way through graduate school with only one English class. I took American Playwrights. So I wasn't all that well read, and I just had a lot of catching up to do. And as far as social media goes, I was even worse off. So I have spent the last 20 years getting the education. And I've learned Instagram, even though I'm still super bad at it. I'm really slow. I delete posts I don't mean to delete, and I have to redo them all the time. But I keep doing it. And you do have to build a platform. And what happens, too, is now, like, I have people who are following, and it feels mutual. Like, I have friends on Instagram, and we support each other. And, you know, not only my regular friends, but writing friends, and you feel a part of a literary community, which is nice. But it that took years. It took a lot of work and time.
You must have been doing something right, because it is not easy to get the notice that you've gotten, like from Zibby magazine, you know, saying that you're one of the most anticipated. And I think the LA Times said something about perfect for summer vacation. So this is not easy to come by, this kind of recommendations.
Thank you. That's so nice. You're making me smile big.
Well, I mean, you're obviously very, very good at this, because something I have not seen a new author who's just, without being with a major publisher, you know, if you're with a big five, they'll come out and get you all this stuff. But normally, this is not what people get. I mean, you're like all over the place.
Oh, that's really nice. I'll say this. I work hard. I work really hard. This has been really important to me. I've worked hard at it.
So, I mean, you do all this yourself. I mean, to get noticed by whether the Jerusalem Post, the Huffington Post, I mean, it's not easy.
No.
So,
but, you know, that's what I said. Like, you make connections, you meet people, you hire a coach, a writing friend gives a suggestion. And you put yourself out there. You take chances. I email people asking them if they might be interested to get a press release, to get a copy of the book. And one thing leads to the next.
Well, you are, if you're not a naturally born writer, you're a naturally born promoter. Because I mean, I was so amazed when I looked at all of this that you've managed to get, and I know how difficult. I mean, I know authors who are actually published by the Big Five, and they don't get this kind of stuff.
Oh, well, I really do appreciate that.
And, of course, you probably are going to be doing a lot of events throughout the summer. This is a wonderful book, you know, for my Hadassah Book Club. I would think all the Hadassah book clubs around the country will want you to zoom in to their meeting.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. and also Sisterhood at, like, my synagogue, they have a book club. All of these, and they're always looking, you know, usually they try to get the author, you know, if they can. Well, but I have a feeling you'll put yourself out there and people can zoom with you, because you are one heck of a promoter.
Oh, I appreciate that. I do have wonderful people helping me, too. My book Sparks has been amazing. Crystal's great, Crystal Patriarch, and her team. So I have wonderful people supporting me, too. That helps.
Well, all I can say is you're doing something right. I assume you're writing the next book already.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
It's always, the first one's tough, but the second one now, how far are you along? When's that going to come out?
So the one I'm working on now will be my second novel, but I have the collection also, so it'll be my third book. The novel that I'm working on now is a completed draft, but I've gone back in and done some really serious editing. And so it's still a while away. I'm a slow writer. I'll get it done.
Well,
it takes me time.
Okay. Well, because of all, I love the way you describe little things, and I think that's what makes the book stand out, all the smart things. It's funny, in your book, you mention your copy of, well, I assume your copy of War and Peace is 1,225 pages, and as I was reading your book, I looked over at my bookshelf, and I saw my copy of War and Peace, and later on, I had to get up and see if it was 1,225, it's been a long time since I read the. And my my copy is 1,240 because I have the mod translation. So
that is so funny. I love that you thought about it and got up and checked. That's great.
Oh yeah, I had to. I mean, I said, "What's that? I can't remember exactly." And I got up and I saw. So I don't know which translation you have, but I have the mod. I think one of the first edition of their mod translation, and it's so. I thought it was so cute. I love it. I love these things. And so not everybody who has War and Peace on their shelves are going to go check what they have. And then they have to get your book so they can read about what happens with your copy.
Definitely.
Because it's pretty good. Okay, well, thank you so much. Oh, your website is great. By the way, I have to tell people your website is great. And it's Corey Adjemi, A-D-J-M-I. A really wonderful website. It's got all these lovely things people are saying about you. Ah, amazing. And your events, and also some great writing advice. So people go to her website. It's really good. And get the book. Yeah, you know, it's Mother's Day coming up. Every mother would enjoy reading it because in the end, it all comes out okay. So, again, Corey, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's been a joy talking to you.
It has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. The Marriage Box. Anyway, it is very nice. She's done a great job. Take care. Bye-bye now.